If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi, welcome to Black Ticulate, a podcast series featuring UK young black professionals, where we find out how they do what they do, so you can too. Or not. After all, it is your life.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Black Ticulate. We're officially 2 years old. I mean, you guys, if you don't know, we've officially turned 2 years old this month, this year, and we're just excited because we have so much in the pipeline. For instance, we now have a YouTube channel, and we've got a couple new services like workshops and events that we're definitely going to be launching very soon. So please watch this space. Now let's talk about today's episode and today's guest. She was our very first ever podcast episode, Miss Sugar Plum, also known as Nastasha Lesengo. She is killing it in the game. She's the cake maker. You can actually see her on TV right now as we speak on Extreme Cake Makers. When we spoke to her 2 years ago, she had just quit her job, or rather she got fired from her job. And she was just talking about how she was going to make her lifestyle, which was baking, into a proper business and a sustainable business. So this time round, we've got her back again for her to update us on where she's at, what she's up to, and also for her to give us all the resources, tips within the last 2 years. Guys, she is the epitome of black girl magic. She's boss lady, black entrepreneur. I can go hashtag all day long, but this episode is for you if you want to know how to start a business regardless of what industry. And as always, guys, please do share, review, comment on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, wherever you are listening to this podcast, because it really helps. You guys are the best, and I'll see you on the other side. Hey, what are you talking about? It's like 2 years down the line. What's good?
Is it 2 years down the line already?
Yeah, you were my official. Hey, first and foremost, what? What? Guys, this is Black Ticulate 2.0 for reals, because we're officially 2 years old.
Whoop, whoop.
And it's with great pleasure, like really is with great pleasure, to actually have the person who kicked it off all 2 years back as a return guest.
That's incredible. I didn't think it was like two years have gone past already. That is insane.
And crazy. Stash, honestly, if I had the budget and the skill sets to start actually cutting up what you were saying 2 years ago and where you are now today, I would so do that.
But I don't even know what I said like 2 years ago. But like, it's incredible that it's 2 years. It feels like yesterday we did the first one.
Yeah, no, it's been insane. It's been a huge journey. And so, yeah, thanks for coming back. And we really want to know where you're at, what you're up to. But
yes,
to start things off, first and foremost, you are officially my most popular episode.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
No way!
Yeah, 100%.
I'm actually shocked because obviously
I've had some great people on as well.
You've had some amazing people on, and I am naturally a hermit. It's crazy because I've had customers just off of the back of the first one, which has been amazing, that they first heard me on Black Ticulate.
Oh, really?
And they were like, yeah, I've got to get this cake maker. They've gone to my page, and literally, like, I've got a customer that listened to your podcast and he was getting married and that's how he found me. And he's like one of my favorite customers. Look at
that. Blacktickulate putting people on as well.
I know.
Yeah?
And they recently had their, they got married. I've done them countless birthday cakes.
Amazing.
And they recently had a baby. They used the cafe for their baby naming ceremony.
Really?
And yeah, and I'm going to be doing their baby's first smash cake. So that was all down to Blacktickulate.
No,
so,
honestly, I mean, amazing. Credit to you because your stuff is phenomenal without a shadow of a doubt. And geez, I mean, first and foremost, where's my cut?
Do you know what I mean? You're in the cafe like, all the time. Yeah. Like, this guy gets caked up all the time. He's getting cake today. He's getting cake pieces to take home today. I'm surprised he's not telling me.
Diabetes.
Exactly. I'm surprised you're not saying to me, yo, that's Dash. Like, you got to ease up on these cakes on me. You know what I mean? Because, yo.
Never. If I don't enjoy life, then I'm not enjoying your cakes. I mean, it's damn just right. Like, that's damn crazy. Right. I enjoy life, so I enjoy your cakes. Okay, so guys, we've done a little intro, obviously we bigged each other up, but Stash, in not the fullest way, because if you really do want to know Stash's story, I do highly recommend going to the very first ever Blacktickulate episode.
Yes, I do.
But it'll still be quite nice to get people who are a lazy and they won't go back to actually know who you are, what you do, and then let's just roll from there.
Okay. So my name is Nastasha Lisengo. I am the director or creative director of the Indulgent Sugar Plum. More knownly now as a cake architect.
Cake architect, you know.
I think that name is much more fitting than cake decorator or baker. I rarely like to be called a baker because I create cakes. As much as I bake them, I bring them to life.
My girl, media training. You know what, we'll get into that.
I started out baking, it's going to be about 4.5 years ago now.
Right.
And I started off baking through my workplace, Diesel. I just used to bring in cakes over there. That's how me and Ade met. I was starting Diesel, Ade was leaving Diesel, and we still had a mutual friend at Diesel. Used to bake, bring them in. They actually quite egged me on and said, this is you, like, go into baking. Then I just used to get orders from people in the office, and then it just went from one order a week to two orders a week. And then the lady who actually headhunted me for the Diesel job, her husband was opening, they had started a recruitment agency.
Okay.
And she asked me what else. She came in the office one day. She asked me what else I was doing. I was like, I'll bake. And she was like, okay, cool. Maybe my husband can order some cakes off of you for his company. And I was like, okay, cool. I started that relationship. That's with Devril Smith Recruitment.
Look at that. Shout out.
Or Devril Smith, as they go by now. And they are a property recruitment company, and they've been one of my clients ever since I started baking. So
amazing.
I've had them for like 4.5 years.
Amazing.
Which is really, 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 really dope that they still trust me to do their cake.
Of course, man. The quality is there. Guys, I always say this whenever you can, and if you can, because you are listening to this, do also jump on Stash's Instagram website just to see the cakes we are talking about.
Yeah, it's MS_sugar_plum, or just type in my hashtag, which is the Indulgent Sugar Plum.
Damn.
So I kind of finished up at Diesel for 4.5 years. It was one of my favorite places to work. I always give Diesel the credits for pushing me to go into baking, and they really just drove that for me because they always used to order from me. I never thought that could happen. But it did. I moved on to another company.
Right. Okay. We know this story. You know what? Yeah. What I will do is I'm going to pause you because this is a juicy story, guys. Right? It's juicy to the point where I'm like, do we give them this in this episode, or do they have to go back to episode one?
You know what? I'll just give you the moral of the story. Yeah, or okay. One of my favorite lines from this story is the fire-breathing dragon.
Yes. All right. Tell us about it.
And moved on to another company. I was there for less than a year. I actually got fired because I called one of the managers a fire-breathing dragon.
Yeah, on a company email, by the way.
Company
to
email,
an alleged
so,
friend.
It wasn't somebody in the company. I sent it to a friend of mine.
Right, gotcha.
And to be honest, it was the biggest blessing of my life.
Yes, and that is where we kind of, not left you, because you had been still continuously getting orders and getting clients. But when we were speaking last, and forgive me, guys, I keep referring back to our first ever episode, but again, you know what I mean? I'm trying to plug out here.
Listen to the first episode because it's quite fun. It is a fun
episode. It's a nice, easy episode.
Yeah.
But I think you were saying along the lines, and what your then challenges were, was the notion of having a base, a kitchen, in order for you to bring clients and for it to be professional. And then literally no word of a lie about what, a month down the line, you gave me a text and you go, you know what? There's a cafe that actually, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's all coming back to me. Yeah, right. Like literally. So
explain
it's,
that.
It's yeah. amazing because after doing the first episode of Blacticulate, it was like a couple of months after, and then I texted Ade and said, oh my God, you know how I was saying that I was looking for a bigger spot to bake in?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I got a cafe and it's near your house.
I was like, what?
So I managed through a mutual friend, and her name is Nadu Plaka.
Who's also in Blacticulate, guys.
Yeah.
There's black excellence out here. You already know.
Nadu Plaka, the best way I'd describe this woman is she is a woman with a Midas touch.
That's a lovely way to describe it. She has got the Midas touch. She's awesome. And she's very generous.
Yeah, she's awesome. So we became great friends through that. And I remember we were just having a conversation. She was like, Natasha, what does your business need? And I was like, I need a bigger space because next year I don't know how I've managed it, but I've booked myself a load of weddings and I don't see these happening in my current situation, which is my house. And then she just told me that Inspire, where my cafe's based, which
down
is
Woolworth Road.
Down Woolworth Road in St. Peter's Church in the crypt. And they were their kitchen was up for grabs. And she said, just put in a proposal and see if you can get it. Fast forward a year and a half. Here we are. Amazing. In my kitchen.
Amazing. That is so cool. That is so cool.
And not
look. I haven't looked back since.
I've not looked back. I've been like, oh, you know what? I'm not going to lie. Like, this is for me a dream come true. It's one of the dreams that I've always had. And it came at a point, once again, like, when these opportunities come around, it comes around so fast and so, it just literally came around and I was like, oh my gosh, I've got a cafe and I've got a cafe to run now. I was just looking for a bigger kitchen, but now I've got like a shop.
Sorry to interject, Stash, but I'm just actually thinking about it from a practical aspect. Insofar as making a business still stay afloat, what are the essentials? I mean, and again, you're in the hospitality and food industry specifically. What is it that people who fail, because a lot of people have tried to start like you, but you know, they're not where you are. What is the failures? What are these things that they might be overlooking?
I think for me, when I hear a lot of people starting food business, they're so attached to the branding of your company. But when you look at their cakes or their product, it doesn't match up.
Mm.
I'm the reverse of that. So my product speaks more than my actual branding.
I get that.
So people recognize my cakes without actually seeing the branding. So I've had a lot of people go to weddings like this year and say, oh my gosh, I went to this person's wedding, you did their cake. And I'm a bit perplexed. I'm like, who?
Yeah.
And people recognize my stuff, like just my cakes on their own. It doesn't need that label to say, oh, there's a badge. Oh, okay, that's the company.
you do have a specific sort of style with your cakes, which is great. But I think what you were saying in regards to the brand in aspect should be almost subsequential, because the product and the quality of product is the first most important thing, and it speaks for itself.
People don't come to you because you've got great branding.
Right.
People come to you because you've got a great product.
Right.
And this is one thing I always try to instill with a lot of people starting up. Get people to, everybody that's eating your product or using your services, whatever, get them to talk about it, get them to write reviews about it.
And that's where a lot of people fail, would you
say? I think it is
a
lot when they start. People care about the branding so much to an extent where you spend so much time doing a logo and then you forget that you actually have to sell what's going on the package. And I think when people spend more time actually perfecting the product, that's what's going to sell you, that's what's going to drive you. Because for me, what has worked wonders and still works wonders till this day is word of mouth.
Yeah,
word of mouth travels much further than a glossy logo.
Okay.
I feel like anybody can have a glossy logo, but not everybody's got the perfect product to go along with that.
Are there specifically like any tools that is essential for you? And I don't mean the creation of your cakes, because obviously flour, yeah, eggs and stuff, but insofar as to run the business.
I've like winged it.
Okay.
I'm not lying. When it comes to business acumen, it's something that I'm learning now, and it's learning through the people who I'm surrounded with now. I've winged it with my business a lot.
Okay.
A lot.
So what do you use? I know you use PayPal for...
Right. So in terms of like, obviously I opened a business account with Metro, which are a great business. Anybody who wants to open a business account and looking for what's the best bank to go with, I recommend Metro.
Really?
Okay. Metro, very, very easy to use. You have to stay, there's different levels of business accounts, but very, very easy to use. They're open 7 days a week, which is great. And for has somebody that runs a business, you need a bank that has flexible opening hours. So they're open like 7 to 7. I'm literally plugging in Metro here.
No,
great,
that's
customer
nice.
Service. People in there are fantastic. Very easy. If you lose your card, like, now you can go and get a replacement now.
Really?
That's how dope the bank is.
Okay.
You know, so
it's always good to have a business account and separate from your own.
In terms of taking clients' orders or payments from clients, I find PayPal very, very easy. When I first started, it used to just be bank transfer, and it got a bit too messy because I don't have the time to kind of like keep on going back and forth with my bank. So PayPal is a great way because you can just send an invoice, you see it come into your account. There is a charge with PayPal.
Yeah, I thought so.
There is a small charge. But at the same time, if you want a peace of mind and knowing that you can track all of your orders, a small fee of like 20p or £1 is kind of just like nothing.
Yeah, it's worthwhile.
It's worthwhile. There are other ones out there. I think there's Sage, I don't know, but there's other kind of platforms. You can also look at those, but for me PayPal is easier, and everybody seems to be on PayPal anyway. Well, the majority of the world.
Yeah.
My ordering process,
let's walk through it. That might be an interesting exercise. I might be like, hey, I saw your cake, you are amazing on Instagram, miss_sugar_plum.
Yes.
Just a little plug for you, my lady. And I'm like, yo, that free tier bad boy. Yeah, I'm about that. So how can I get that? Oh, okay. On your Instagram, there's a contact us.
So on my Instagram, I'd like to highly say this. Please contact me. Please, 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 please use the contact button. I know some people will DM me. The problem is I don't always see my DMs.
Right.
And when I'm on Instagram, I am literally just uploading stuff and
keeping it moving.
Yeah. And when you enter my DMs for orders,
just for orders, yeah? Okay, sure.
Well, people just enter my DMs for orders.
I don't know what else they'd enter my DM for. But okay, so they contact you via that and it lands into your inbox.
Yes.
Right. And then what's the next process?
The way my cakes are priced, I don't have a full-blown price list. I can never send you a price list. It goes by design and size. So different designs cost a different amount depending on what you want.
But you would email them back to say, hi, thanks for your interest. What are you looking for?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Or if they tell me what they're looking for, if it's very direct, I want like an eight-inch cake, which is yellow and pink. Literally just send them an email back with all that information. Then it's just in the email, it basically tells you how much the cake is, if you want a delivery, the date, the flavor, the deposit. One of the things I do is I do take a deposit.
Yes. And would you highly recommend that?
I highly recommend everybody take a deposit.
Okay.
You know why?
Why?
It's because people will say yes, and then obviously if you bake like 2-3 days before and the customer hasn't paid the deposit, you're just baking the cake, and then on the day you're like, hey, your cake is ready, they're like, oh, I don't want it anymore.
Yeah,
so I got a spare cake. And so deposits just help secure the order, especially if your order is like over £100, like you want to know that you've got part of the money first,
for sure.
Instead
cover
of
your base, at least.
Exactly, cover your bases. I learned this a very long time ago. Take a deposit. Some people will say, oh, can I pay on the date? No, you're trying to be clever. So you see the product and then you want to rate what you think you should pay for it.
Yeah, negotiate.
No, we don't do negotiations. It's funny because I used to be very, very subtle on this subject. And after following a lot of other cake people on Instagram, cake people are like, no deposit, no cake. I'm like, okay, I don't need to be nice anymore. I can actually say these words. And it's because they've been through the motions. But I try my best.
And when it comes down to creativity as well, people always try and negotiate on the value as opposed to just doing a standard rate. I get that.
Yes.
So all of a sudden we've then established that this is what I want, 8-inch, this color, this cookie and cream flavor, make it pop. And then I pay the deposit, then you make it, and then you potentially deliver it, or I come collect it.
It's all up to you.
Amazing. Yeah. And then everyone else is happy.
Yes.
Right. So that in of itself is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of to and fro. Client relationship. And I guess, again, being now you've got a team, but when you started, especially, and I know a specific story which I'm trying to see whether I can unearth, how were you building?
So in terms of growing my business, I have taken on interns, and through taking on interns, I've had great interns. I've had 5 interns. 3 of them have been awesome. When I say awesome, top interns, I would
highly recommend them.
Like, when my business gets to that stage, I want them on my team. And then I had one girl who was like an abomination.
Wow. And I was not expecting those words.
And she was the best. You know, once again, blessings don't always come in the form of a great surprise or greatness, but she was a blessing because she taught me a lot about how to protect myself. And she taught me, don't always jump in. Just because someone says they want to work with you doesn't mean you automatically snatch them up. You've got to really sit there and really dig deep with them.
So what happened?
So I took on this young lady. She was awesome to begin with. And we worked together. I was still working from home. So, you know, you trust people, like, this is my home. So whenever I brought in someone into my home, I would trust. That means we have established there is some trust here.
100%.
Because I'd leave these girls in my house to bake, do what they needed to do. There was 2 of them at that time. After, I think she stayed with me for a good 7 months. I'm going to give it an average about 7 months. It could have been 8, but I think it was like 6 to 7 months. During that time, that's when I had got this kitchen. So I was moving into a kitchen. So I'd actually said to her, moving into a kitchen, great opportunity, because she also did catering. And I was like, okay.
That's what she wanted to do.
She wanted to do catering. And I was like, you know what? This is probably a good team up, because I'm not really trying to get involved in catering.
Right.
Maybe what you could do is bring in your catering and you could like literally use this as your catering thing. I will talk about money and finance afterwards. But she then said she wasn't interested. And I was a bit perplexed, actually. I was like, really? Right. Okay, cool. She didn't take the offer. Even the other intern said she was surprised, because all she ever spoke about was running her own catering business with sprinkles of cake. I think it was 2 months in, and I had my kitchen, and I had another intern. I'll shout her out, Jasmine. She's amazing.
Right.
I would hire Jasmine in like a hot minute. She knows I always bother her. Like, she does some of my admin still, which is amazing in itself. And she said, she gave me a heads up, and she was like, have you been onto her page? I'm like, Jasmine, I don't have time to go on IG pages and look at people's work. I'm trying to run a business here. And she was like, no, you need to go onto her IG page. You need to go and see her IG page. Like, Jasmine, the whole day from the moment she came in up until like we sat down and had lunch, she was like, look, I'm going to force it in your face. Lo and behold, I went to that girl. I went to her IG page, and it was literally the Indulgent Sugar Plum all over.
Right.
And even I went to her, she was like, she's even got a website. She went to the website and...
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Her basically, she took my company's ethos, did her own little remix with it, and it basically sounded like the Indulgent Sugar Plum.
Right.
I was extremely hurt because the cakes that she had done since she had left, they were all in a very, you can't not say it was she. It was my style.
What was your style?
Before she came to me, she had no style whatsoever. She barely knew how to cover a cake. I got her up to a stage of knowing how to construct a cake and how to make them tall. All of that she learnt from me to a point that she knew how to cover a cake in the style that I do, decorating, shown her all of these skills. And did she even tag me? No, she was tagging these big ass companies from Australia. And it's not that company's fault or anything, but the fact that I have no issue with you going to start your own business. My issue was you couldn't even say
thank you,
or I learned this from the Indulgent Sugar Plum, or
so, you know, credit what? Where credit due. Yeah,
or just to give that gratitude to say, you know what, I learned it from here.
Yeah.
Because what then started to happen is a load of people started tagging me in her pictures and saying,
isn't this your cake.
People started sending me the stuff and I'm like, yo, it's not my, and they were like, but it should, it's yours, didn't right. you work with me?
So that's the reason why I guess why I wanted to bring up this story isn't necessarily because I'm trying to throw, or you know, defamation of this lady on a country. It's more a case of when you are a craftsman, you know, when you are an artist, when you are creative, you know, how much do you relinquish of your style? And is this why you're now protective and growing slowly?
You know what? As a creative, I'm inspired by all of the creatives before myself.
For and sure.
they're inspired by people before them. We only want gratitude. Credit where credit's due. That's all I'm asking for. I'm not saying that I want to shut you down, because I'd never shut somebody.
No, I get that. But would you bring someone else back on and teach them still your style and how to do things?
I do it with caution.
Okay.
And I don't, it's not like I
then
don't.
How do you qualify that? How do you?
By caution, this is, let me explain how I bring on interns and how the reason why I still take on interns. We, as a creative, you do get, there's a bit of ego. There's a little bit of ego.
Speak so on all, it. Speak all creatives.
On creatives. You know what? Every creative has their own ego. My ego is give credit to where credit's due. So the thing about me is I've carved my own style in an industry where it's predominantly very fondant, and I'm carving my own style. I'm taking it away from kind of what everybody knows and giving a bit of art, giving it a bit more kind of avant-garde.
Yeah, for sure.
So where I take on interns now is I ask you what you want to learn. It's not always about, people say, I want to learn how to decorate like you. First and foremost, I've learned that I can't teach you how to decorate. It's like when I was in art school, nobody taught you how to paint. You found your own style within that, whether it was just painting with dots or doing something with big brush strokes. It's your style.
Yeah.
And that's who you are. That's how you express yourself. So that's the first thing I say to people. I don't teach you how to decorate because I can't.
Right, yeah.
I don't do that. So what else do you want to learn from me? Or what else do you want to take away from your experience with me? That's the first thing I ask my interns. But as a functioning kitchen, what I need is people who have baking experience that literally enjoy baking and want to experience that in a live situation,
right,
like as in live orders. So if you already know how to bake, that's great. If what you want to take out of it is to strengthen your baking skills, yes, but to teach you how to bake, or I can't do that.
Boy, so, Miss Sugar Plum Boy.
I think what it's that a, experience, what that experience, no, no, it's a real thing. And I think people need to, and I think, like I said, the first thing I ask all of my interns now is, what do you want out of this experience?
Right.
What do you want to take away? I don't want your experience with me just to be like, oh, I just worked in a kitchen and all I did was measure ingredients. I want you to take away something, that you learned how to be more efficient with baking. You learned how to, I don't know, like you learned how to stack a cake. You learned how to do all of those things. You learned how to dowel cakes. You learned how to be much more architectural about your cakes. Like, I want you to take away something from the experience. But one thing I don't do, which has been very apparent, is I don't take on people who run your own business or you sell cakes already.
Okay.
Because it's a conflict of interest.
Okay.
And I think what it is people, sometimes people can lack a little bit of confidence in themselves and in their product. And what I say is, as much as I wanted to go into another baker's kitchen to learn, what I did was say, the only way I can really, really, really learn is if I invest that time into myself, which is spending time in the kitchen by myself and doing trial and error. One of my golden rules that I tell my interns and anybody that works with me, if you don't like it, what makes you think the customer's going to like it?
Yeah. And I think you do that really well. And that's why your product, and that's why you are where you are as we currently sit, is because you love not just bacon, but you love the satisfaction you get when customers love your work or your product.
Yeah.
You even said to me off the record and whatnot, it's like you really want your cakes to be the conversation piece.
Yeah.
And you want them to go, whose cake
there's,
is this?
There is my ego right yeah. now. And if when I talk about ego, there is my yeah. ego.
Now, I really am conscious of time. And I do want to just move it on before we go into the light fire questions I normally ask. Where are we right now in the business? What is next steps? And in fact, let me ask that first.
Okay, this is the most exciting part.
Right, got you.
So, yeah.
What do you mean this is the most exciting part? Why did we get that from the jump?
You know what? No, let me make one thing straight. People ask me this all the time, and I want to set this record straight. People ask me all the time, do you not get bored of making cakes? Let me tell you, cake is my life.
Right.
When I tell you, I enjoy my job. It's not a job to me. It's something that I do.
Yeah, you're saying your lifestyle.
It's my lifestyle. When I bake, when I'm in the kitchen, let me tell you, it's the most freeing, the freedom that comes when I'm in my kitchen and I'm doing my thing.
Yeah.
I would not change that for the world. Like in the first episode, I said baking is a lifestyle. It's my life.
Mm.
I will bake until my end of days. I'll still be baking at 90.
Bless you.
I will still be baking when the Lord says, yup. Because it's something I chose to do with all of my heart, and it's something that has given me so much life, which leads me on to the most exciting part of what you've just asked me. When I got my cafe, I remember beginning of the year, I have this debrief thing that I do with my sister, because my sister is my PR / she makes me look good / she pulls in the people / she's an awesome marketing person.
Awesome, shout out.
Her name is Tafara Maluka, and she is she steered me. I always say Tafara is the captain, I'm the engine. And what that practically means is I tell her the direction, or I say this is what I want, and she just makes that happen. So I had this debrief with my sister, and she said, what do you want from this year? And I said to her, I want to be on the front cover of Vogue, no less. And she was like, why can't you ask for something reasonable? And I was like, that is reasonable. Girl, you know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Lifelong dream. And 6 months into me getting my cafe, I get a phone call. And this phone call is from a casting agency, or a production agency, should I say, Boomerang, on behalf of Channel 4. And they say to me, I answer the phone like, hey, the indulgent sugar plum. And the lady says to me, hey, I'm calling from Boomerang on behalf of Channel 4. We are doing a new show called Extreme Cake Makers, and we were wondering if we could cast you in it.
What? Dude, I choked, and I was like, really? I was like, you're pulling my leg.
Yeah.
So while the lady's talking, I'm like secretly telling one of my twin sisters, Google who Boomerang are and see if they actually are from Channel 4, because this may be just someone trying to pull my leg, you know.
This can't be
real. What, a little black girl from South London and they want to put her on TV? Yo. So I'm like hella excited. Yeah. And my sister Googles them and finds out that it's legit. And so she's just like, yeah, we'd love to have like a Skype casting with you. And then the first thing she says to me, are you based in London or Liverpool? And I'm like, no, I'm based in London. It's the road that's called Liverpool Grove. She's like, okay, cool. Fast forward Saturday, I have this casting over Skype. Really, really great. I think then on the Wednesday, she said, oh, we'll get back to you like beginning of the week. Monday goes by and I hear nothing. I was like, it's a lie. You know, like it was one of those like, it's a lie. It's okay, Stash. It's okay. Didn't need to get hyped. By Tuesday midday, they were like, are you ready to film on Monday? Because we love you. And I'm like, whoa, Monday. Like, so I was cast into Extreme Cake Makers.
Right.
Which is they're actually having reruns on Channel 4 at the moment.
Okay.
Not Channel 4, E4. You can also catch it on 4OD, Extreme Cake Makers. Look, I literally, this is how crazy it is. 6 months I've got a cafe.
Yeah.
And then in the same 6 months, not even a year has passed, and I'm on TV.
Yeah.
I said to my sister, yo, you know Vogue is coming real soon, right? And it was honestly phenomenal.
Right.
I could never have imagined that after having, I was happy just having a cafe. Like literally, I was just happy. Like part of my dream was coming true of me expanding. It was working. I was like, yo, I've got myself to where, one level up. 100%. And then to find out that I'm having a show, I was like, yo, this is incredible.
And has it been helpful? The growth, the awareness?
The awareness has been amazing. Just, I was featured in 7 of the episodes. There's 15 episodes, featured in 7 of them. It's been really, 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 really good. The response that I've got has been good. I mean, there's a bit on Twitter that they, you know, people were a bit mean. But it was mean. You know what? It was subjective. Because my work is subjective. I don't do the obvious. I don't make Buzz Lightyear cakes. It's probably one of my pet hates to do novelty cakes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll do them if I can be a bit more creative
and,
with it.
And guess what? The very fact that they are talking about you, it's good things. Anyway, I know there's that cliche of there's nothing like bad PR. So is there anything that you think you would like to have said that I haven't asked you that we've overlooked, insofar as from my audience perspective, what good practical advice or tools that you wish you knew?
I really just want to stress that when you are starting your business, I think it's great to be everything in your business. And then you find yourself drifting to a section that you're like, okay, cool. I love doing the whole process, but it'd be great if I didn't do A and B and I concentrated on C to Z.
Yeah.
And that's where I want to be. And so once you understand the model of your business, you can inject money into it where it's necessary. One thing I'd also want to stress, and I think I'm not sure if I stressed this in my first one, is don't always run to get a grant or to get like funding, because sometimes what you could do is you jump in at the deep end and you obliterate the funding before you actually realize what you need the funding for.
Right.
It's always great to show the people who are funding it, or if you're going to funding circle, whichever place you're going, whoever's going to invest in your business, what your business is actually about and that it can actually function. A person like me whose business has been running for a mere like 3.5 years, I've not got funding for my business, only for the reason of when I was just about to get the funding, I didn't actually know what I wanted it for. I just said I wanted a lump sum and it was going to go in marketing, but at the same time I was like, what am I marketing here? Really?
No, that makes sense.
And 3 years later, I now know exactly where my money's going to. And it's not really going into the product. It's actually going into the aftermath. What I say the aftermath is where the aftermath for me is marketing and branding. Okay. Because that is now, even though word of mouth still helps me, I want to reach a greater audience and reach a specific, not a specific, but there is a keen audience that I want to reach. And to do that, I need to plump up my marketing because word of mouth travels great. Mm. It is awesome. You know, in a couple of years, or soon to be, I want to be in Harvey Nichols.
There you go, Harvey Nichols.
In all of the top department
stores. Yeah,
department stores.
Harvey Nichols, Harrods, Selfridges.
Harrods, Selfridges. But my main target market is doing cakes abroad, going to Abu Dhabi and doing like for some Sultan.
Well, guys, you heard it here first. If you can help Miss Sugarplum do that.
My dreams of cakes are probably the wildest dreams that you'll ever hear someone talk about cake in a way.
No, I get it. So, and I can't imagine also being featured in Extreme Cake Makeovers. Am I saying that right?
Actually Extreme Cake Makers.
Extreme Cake Makers. Shame on me, considering I've seen all those episodes you're in. Because I support, got to support Black creatives and support Black businesses. I also know that you are currently filming season 2. Is that correct?
That is correct. So after...
congratulations on that.
Thank you. You know what? Season 1 was... I was happy just to be featured on season 1 and be like, hey, the smiling Black girl, which was awesome. When they called me up again after the season, after first series aired, and said, yeah, we want to do season 2, would you be on board? I was like, yes. And amazing. I told my sister, and she was like, well, I've been waiting for this, like, literally. Of course. Oh, why not? So that's also been, it's been really, really awesome. And I hope that people are enjoying that diversity within, I'm not saying that, I think within the cooking industry, there is diversity, but I kind of always saw kind of like the same faces in terms of bakers.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that I've been chosen to kind of feature on there and
be a representative.
More. Yeah, be a rep. I kind of don't like always saying I'm repping,
one of
many, because
hopefully
I think
many more to come.
Yeah, because there is a whole community of Black bakers out there, and for me to be on that platform, I hope that I'm doing our people justice as well. So it's an awesome experience, and season 2. Is being currently filmed.
Cool. So watch the space. Okay. So if you could do a TED talk, right, on anything other than your profession, what would that TED talk be?
It would actually be on inspiring others, but learning to inspire yourself.
Interesting. Okay.
Very, very interesting.
Oh, there might be quick answers.
Okay, I would be on inspiring other people and how to build yourself and inspire yourself.
Okay. What would you spend your last £5 on?
My last £5 will go on cake. It'll go on a dessert. It will go on some sort of dessert.
Amazing. Now, this is Blacktaculate, which is Black Action Articulate. Is there an English word that you dislike? And why?
That's a tough one. I've never really thought about that.
Just earlier on, you were telling me about sorry.
Oh, actually. Yeah, you know what? I hate the word sorry, actually.
Okay. Why?
I hate the word sorry because it's overused. And people say it in a... They say it for the moment but they don't really, they're just saying sorry instead of them to actually acknowledge what they've done. It's just like if you say to someone does something to you, they go, oh, sorry, because it's meant for that moment, but there's no acknowledgement of what they've actually done.
And Stash, before we find out how we can get in touch with you on a world wide web, and when we do, what you'd like us to do, I want to know how you would like to be remembered. And can you say it in a full sentence? Because I'm going to take a video.
I would like to be remembered as one of the world's most creative bakers or cake architects.
Amazing. And how can we find you on the World Wide Web? And when we do, what would you like us to do?
So you can find me in numerous ways. Instagram has Miss Sugar Plum, which is MS_Sugar_Plum. When you find my page, hit the follow.
Okay. So Instagram is predominantly the best point of call.
Instagram is, but actually it's Facebook.
Okay.
People, a lot of people find me through Facebook, funny enough.
Okay, amazing.
So once again, my Facebook, easy to find, The Indulgent Sugar Plum Limited. Once again, follow. If you want to comment, comment. I'm also based at St. Peter's Church in Woolworth Road, just off of Liverpool Grove. It's the big church at the end of the road. I'm in the crypt. Come down. I'm open Tuesday to Friday, 10 till 7 now. Hopefully we'll open weekends, but I'm always out doing a wedding on a weekend. So yeah, just hit me up in any way. If you just want to make a comment and just say, I love your cakes, or when are you going to do this cake? Cool. I'd love to hear from you.
So, okay, guys, as always, we'll try and put all the show notes and all the resources and links on the description, especially the fact that now we have a YouTube channel. So you'll definitely see it in the description box. So Stash, thank you for being officially the first other episode 2 years down the line.
I'd love to speak to you probably in the next 2 years.
We'll definitely get you back in the next 2 years. But once again, thanks very much for blessing us with your voice.
Hey guys, we really appreciate you listening, and if you have any feedback, please leave it in the comment section below. Also, all the info about the guests, the links and the resources we speak about will be in the description below. And last but not least, please, please, please do get in touch if you can teach us how you do what it is you do. Because after all, Blacktickulate is all about empowering and upskilling the community. Thanks, guys. You're the best. See you soon.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.